What is up, Pop Monsters? You're listening to your only podcast filled with commentators, content creators, and professional hosts inside the FGC who refuse to give it up. I am one of your two hosts, Da Purple Sharpie, and I am joined by...
Sucky Sakura! And that's right, you will never pry this microphone off of my cold hands. I'll be here every single day of the week, 24/7, 368 days a year. We are back.
You love to see it, Sucky. This week, we have a bunch of news. I believe we actually start off with a game that you are personally familiar with. You want to talk about it?
Yes, my love. My passion. It's for the passion. Mortal Kombat 1 Final Combat has officially passed at this time of the recording. We've talked a lot about it in previous episodes, and I am thrilled to say that we have made it to the end of Season 1 for competitive Mortal Kombat. Sharpie, let me tell you, we got LCQ recap, we got group recaps, and we got the grand finals. But first, let's go ahead and break down LCQ, probably one of the most hype LCQs for sure. John Cena was in the finals, by the way, if you didn't know, was featured in LCQ. And I strictly mean that was literally Peacemaker after Peacemaker after Peacemaker during LCQ. As well as we also got to see, of course, Kenshi. But you know what? Talking a little bit about LCQ, the South American region, Sharpie, they showed up.
How so? What exactly did they show off there? Actually, I'm going to interrupt you for a moment because I actually remember a small section of LCQ. Specifically, I actually remember the fact that like Sonic Fox did something kind of crazy in part of pools. I believe they actually had brought out that's what it was. They actually went ahead and revealed that they had been supporting the Brazilian scene specifically. And so like right here, I believe this is part of the qualifiers. They actually take off their jersey to showcase Brazil. I don't remember actually who they're up against. You know who that is, Saki?
I do. So, okay, first and foremost, this was actually on the group stages, which, by the way, we'll cover in just a little bit at how killer some of these stages were. But Sonic was facing actually up against, I believe, Killer Shinnok? No, not Killer Shinnok. Is it Conqueror? It's one of those two. I always get them confused, but look at them. Just taking a picture right there. And it was actually interesting because, for one, LCQ was a big opportunity. It was actually in Toronto. So a lot of the Latin American community had an easier time getting their visas to head into Toronto. And mostly the Brazilian players. Now, when we talk about the South American FGC, it's for specifically Mortal Kombat. Brazil is one of the top countries from South America that really plays MK. And it shows, right? At the end of the day, it's like, you definitely see the level of passion, the amount of energy that they go in, the amount of support that they're going in for. And one of the things that they have always wanted is Sonic to head to a tournament. It is Killer Shinnok, by the way.
Gotcha.
That definitely confirmed thereafter. I got to see the footage once again. Had to like remind myself. But so Sonic has wanted to go to Brazil. They haven't gotten a chance to because, there's always something happening in between. This was the first competition that we actually, full competitive season that Sonic was able to participate. We had MK11 competition, but it was super late in game and most of it was online. Due to the pandemic, of course. So Sonic has always been requested, hey, we want you to come down here. We want to see you play. We want to actually be part of things. And with that in mind, Sonic also was wearing that Brazilian jersey under their hoodie for the support of Brazil. And I think that's so awesome because it shows that Sonic is not just a North American legend, more of like a global icon in a way.
Yeah. I think that's really, and we've talked about it before, you know, international tours are important, but very frequently we see tours that say that they're going to be worldwide, and then there's no presence specifically from Central or South American, and the only presence we see in America is from the United States or Canada. So it's nice to see an American player rep the entirety of America, not just North America. You know, that's kind of nice. But I'll allow you to continue with the showcase here, Saki.
Absolutely. So of course, the other Latin American talent. Now, this is also a legend in the making. Twins. So in the group stages, the twins, I believe, were in separate groups, if I'm not mistaken. But honestly, all of those group names inside Saturday's tournament was insane. Only two could have gotten out. It was about four players in each pool, if I'm not mistaken, or five. Gotta remember those numbers off the top of my head, but you definitely only two could have progressed, right? And there was a bloodbath after bloodbath. So you have the Chilean twins, who they were the expected two people to definitely make it out of their groups and into the final top eight for Sunday's bracket. But we also got to see some more, again, international combat, face-all combat. One of the Middle Eastern qualified champions during the Middle Eastern Pro Comp online was actually fighting against Tekken Master. Now, I need everyone to understand that Tekken Master is a legend in the Mortal Kombat community. Like, I would honestly say is, like, you know how you know Arsalan Ash as that Tekken player? Well, yeah. Tekken Master, even though they do play Tekken, they are the Arsalan Ash of Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
and
wow.
One of the winners, or rather one of the top dogs expected to have made it to Final Combat, actually going down to face Y'all Combat, who was able to make it to the grand finals. And this was insane too, because it was with Katana. So all you Katana put down players, guess what? You got featured in Final Combat. And right here, you know, battling against the twins, no easy feat. And what a great performance that they were able to perform against, you know, again, international combat. Like, I feel like we had the two Americans, which was actually three Americans, which was Mighty Unjust, Ninja Killa, and Sonic. And Combat, my apologies, so four. And then the other four were all international contestants that really made and shone so brightly. And I loved every second of it for them. And then in addition to that, we also kind of got to see as well Hayate versus Conqueror in the Kenshi Mirror. I think that was also a really hype match in of itself, just because of the fact that we got to see how powerful Kenshi was. But then in addition to all of that Sharpie, we kind of saw a taste of Kenshi's medicine on each other. Like, the two best Kenshi players actually getting a taste of their own medicine.
Is Kenshi considered, like, really, really good at a high level in general? I remember when the game first came out, you were messing around with Kenshi, Sonic was messing around with Kenshi, like, Katana Prime was messing around with Kenshi. Has that, like, success still been, like, parroted in this stage of the game?
Absolutely. Now, I wouldn't say that it's the same level, because the thing about Sonic, Katana, myself, everybody who touched Kenshi, especially during beta and at the start of launch, we had never experienced a puppet character. Now, I have experience with puppet characters because I play anime,
yeah,
right? So I
have,
you know,
very common here.
Zato. Exactly. It's super, super common. I'm sure there's plenty of puppet characters in Skullgirls at some point. I hope I said that right.
There actually are not, but
there's not.
No, thankfully. Thankfully, there really are not, to be honest.
I have a feeling that the devs are like, I see Sharpie.
Let's not judge, you know? But yeah, no, I think if you could describe what a puppet character does, I think that would help a lot of our listeners who may not necessarily be familiar with fighting games kind of understand here.
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, I'll take Kenshi on his previous form, and I'll take Kenshi now so you can kind of see what we mean by that. So previously, Kenshi obviously had Sento. In a standard anime game, when they feature a puppet character, Sento would be this character or this body on the field that you can control, and you actually have the ability to control that body while also controlling yourself at the same time. It's a little bit more complex because you are dealing with a bit higher technical ideas, especially with Negative Edge and trying to kind of use your puppet as your protector, pretty much. And that's kind of how Sento works here in Mortal Kombat 1, which is the first time that they've ever been able to use that as well. So when we looked at how Kenshi was at beta, you know, a lot of us were like, oh, he's going to be a complex character. And he is to an extent. But what we never realized is how good he was when we started adding the cameos. Cameos being another new mechanic that is added into Mortal Kombat 1. And it's the first time we actually get that tag assist type fighter for this iteration of Mortal Kombat. So what we really got to see is one really strong Kenshi, also having a cameo like Cyrax being crucial in the setup of Sento, because you end up having instances where Sento can be summoned for free, basically off of block strings, which is not something that you're usually used to for your standard puppet character. It kind of requires you to set it up and then you kind of have these like really disgusting mixes. And then in addition to that, it's a bit of like, hey, I took out your puppet, but you're still in play because you still have strong, strong tools as well. So we got to see a little bit about that from Hayate, one of Canada's top players. And then again, Conqueror, one of Brazil's top players, in perfect story of a mirror match. Now, was it fun to commentate and watch? Well, after seeing 20,000 Kenshis and 20,000 Peacemaker matches, I definitely think some of those nerfs are incoming for sure.
Thank you so much for the recap on the general understanding of a puppet character and the overall, basically, it sounds like the group stages of the Mortal Kombat finals. How did the actual finals themselves go, Saki?
So this was a movie in the making, to be honest, Sharpie. So first and foremost, I loved that we have the iconic Shao Axe this time, not Shao Hammer, Shao Axe. The stage was really set up. We had Tento, who was being the host for Mortal Kombat 1. There's actually a meme going around with Tento kind of looking like a Mr. Rogers character as he's like reading out aloud us from the script. And then you were in Shang Tsung's laboratory, which I think is one of the coolest stages. Because it shows kind of like the dark but not so dark side of Shang Tsung, mm-hmm. and this like persona that he's trying to go for. One thing to note is that for one, a lot of players that we weren't expecting made it into finals, which is including, again, Face All Combat, Mighty Unjust, who actually definitely owes Brosive a couple of drinks. Because Brosiv won against the player that was matching up against Mighty Unjust, they had the same tie record. But because they lost to Brosiv, Mighty Unjust was the one who ended up qualifying. So that was a huge opportunity for Mighty Unjust, who was always kind of like this online warrior who won all these online tournaments and then slowly came out to offline with MK11. And then leading into the bracket, like for starters, we had matchups that we would have usually seen in grand finals in the beginning of the top eight loser side. So we had like Scorpion, Prox, and Nicholas fighting it out literally super early. We had Ninja Killa and Sonic Fox also duking it out like pretty early in the bracket too. And then more than anything was that bracket reset, Sharpie. Ooh. You know, a couple of times when the twins got sponsored, there was a bit of a challenge from Sonic. And they're like, we're going to take over the world. And Sonic's like, yeah, we'll see. And Combo Breaker was actually where they kind of had to like eat their words. Because I believe it was Scorpion Prox who actually won. Mm. Or it was Nicholas. I believe it was Nicholas who won Combo Breaker. For the second year in the row for Mortal Kombat, just in general. But this time, despite the bracket reset, was ending up actually losing to Sonic, I believe, 3-0. So it was a bracket reset, but Sonic still came out on top and took the first championship right there.
That's pretty cool. You know, congratulations to Sonic. We actually have a picture of all the winning moment right here, captured by a very, very famous... very, very famous esports picture taker, basically. I believe that was taken by Robert Paul. otherwise known as Tempest Rob, very well known as not just the FGC, but esports in general. Fantastic pictures here. And overall, I actually think this cup was actually produced by Incendium, correct? We talked about them last week because they're also running the Street Fighter qualifiers.
No, so this was produced by RTS.
Oh.
So it was actually produced by the East Coast Throwdown crew.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations to them. And congratulations again to everybody that went ahead and won here. We can see them aside of the really cute little picture. Actually, I want to showcase this kind of like vanity picture we have here with Sonic sitting here in front of their bookcase with their winning device. Like, and this is the second time I think Sonic has won something like this, because they actually posted on their Twitter with them inside of like their little fur hat with a huge Thor from winning the Mortal Kombat Final Combat in MK11. And now they've won this as well. So they have two different weapons. Specifically, they added the quote, "Now I can dual wield," which was really just hilarious to me. But hey, Saki, thank you so much for that fantastic showcase overall. Actually, I want to go ahead and throw it back to you. And I know I'm relying really heavily on you these last couple of casts, it feels like. But there was actually a really cool opportunity for a lot of people to get ready for one of the biggest fighting game tournaments in the world, Evolution 2024. Can you go ahead and tell our viewers exactly what that opportunity was about?
Yes. So this was the PlayStation Road to Evo. Now, we had about two-ish types of weeks before the date of this recording that we got to see both EU show out and also NA show out. So if you're not too familiar, because PlayStation is a partner and pretty much is the brand for Evo, they actually have these competitions called Road to Evo. They've done it since we came back from the pandemic on 2022, and they've been consistent every single year. And what's really amazing about them is that they pretty much take the PlayStation tournaments that you can literally sign up on your console today if you wanted to, and be able to actually make it for getting your an all expense paid trip to Evo, which is really awesome. Because if you really think about it, we talked about it in a couple of ways before, how tournaments have been super expensive, and you definitely want to be making sure that you're being on top of saving and things like that. And so having opportunities like this is one of the ways that you can actually head to your destination. Now, I had the absolute pleasure, Sharpie, to be able to commentate NA Guilty Gear Strive, which is what you're watching right now.
Let's go,
with
Saki!
The beautiful Jadeline, by the way, queen of Guilty Gear. Fantastic show. If you definitely want to check it out, you should be looking at PlayStation on the YouTubes and all the channels. But there was actually more than just Guilty Gear Strive, Sharpie.
There was? What other games?
So for EU, which they were actually in Paris, in Paris there, you had Tekken, you had Street Fighter, you had Mortal Kombat, you had, I believe, and Guilty Gear Strive as well. Where everybody played in the finals. And then, of course, online for NA, which we're seeing right here, you had the Street Fighter VI, you had the Tekken, and you, of course, have Guilty Gear Strive as well being played out. So really, like, you had all of these games available. And notice, these are the main games going into Evo.
Yeah, Evo has a really good showcase this year, it seems like. And I'm really enjoying the fact that PlayStation's giving online opportunities for people to go ahead and showcase their stuff as well, which I think they've kind of done every single year since RTS actually acquired Evo. Am I incorrect in that assumption?
You are correct in that assumption. I definitely feel like, with these Road to Evos, it's a different approach, right? Now, I'm going to have to rely on you for this one, Sharpie.
Of course, of course.
I don't know how Evo was leading into it before, because I wasn't around for previous Evos. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if these opportunities were as existent as before. But, you know, one of the things that makes it possible is that because PlayStation is a partner of Evo and pretty much is that brand for Evo, they're able to utilize, you know, the console themselves and become that official console, official brand, and official tournaments as well for the event.
Yeah, that wasn't really a thing before, to be honest with you. I've really noticed that, especially since like the acquisition of Evo, there's been a lot more opportunity, I would say, for people that especially have PlayStation consoles or Sony-based consoles to get a chance to actually enter and get basically free lodging at Evo if they win these online tournaments. That was never an opportunity before. To be very honest, I can't actually remember a single moment when there was an opportunity to play online at Evo prior to 2022. I think that was actually the very first time Evo ever offered. I'm sorry, not 2022, 2021. Prior to 2021, I don't think there was ever an opportunity to play online and do anything at Evo. That wasn't really something that was offered. It was exclusively an offline tournament. So like having an official opportunity to play online and get to go to an offline event, that's huge. That's a real game changer inside of the fighting game community. And I'm really happy that PlayStation's offering that opportunity.
I agree 1000%. And I will say this till the day I die.
Yeah.
I am a PlayStation girly through and through. All right. Same. I will love me PlayStation always.
Big same. Honestly, I am so incredibly excited to announce this next little bit of news just because it's something that I'm very passionate about. Shout out to every single person who has ever been taken for a ride. Marvel versus Capcom is coming back. That's right. Switch, PlayStation, they even announced PC ports for the Marvel vs. Capcom fighting game collection. They got X-Men Children of the Atom. They got X-Men vs. Capcom, the original. X-Men vs. Capcom 2. I think it was Return of the Superheroes. They have Marvel Superheroes. That was like the original Marvel vs. Capcom before they even did Marvel vs. Capcom. Just Marvel fighters fighting together. The X-Men vs. Street Fighter. That's the other one. My apologies. And then, of course, you have Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and you have the final game, which was kind of a little bit out of place, was actually the Punisher. That was like super duper out of place, to be honest. A lot of people were really, really confused. They're like, why are you here? My personal thoughts, and this is just a huge, like really, really huge conspiracy theory, to be honest, I just think that it has to do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They've been teasing like the Kingpin a lot inside of the Marvel Cinematic and the Marvel like television show universe. Like they did it inside of Echo, they did it inside of Daredevil, they did it inside of the Punisher. Like Vincent, I think his name is Vincent Defoe or something like that. Vincent DiMaggio or something like along those lines. He's a very, very good actor, and they've really been like kind of teasing his character. So I kind of understand why they added the Punisher specifically, because they're like, yo, go ahead and battle the Kingpin. But it's like beat 'em ups and fight 'em games kind of just work really well together. I did actually want to showcase an instrumental part of this right here, and I'm going to pause it on the exact frame. Hopefully I get it correctly here. But there are quite a few additional things that they have here. Like the level before, they have training skills, so you can actually go in here, you can test frame data and actually learn. They have different specials, one punch specials you can go ahead and turn on. But I think the craziest part was the fast load. I'm sorry, this isn't the craziest part. The craziest part is actually immediately after this. Here we go. Check this out. So they actually have... oh my God, marquee cards. Here it is. Online features. They actually added online along with, and you guessed it. That's right. Where's the rollback? They announced rollback. That's the whole thing. They literally said, by the way, we're giving y'all rollback. And I was like, I was blown away. I don't know why they literally put it in here by name. Here it is. Rollback netcode for a smooth experience. And just so you guys don't think that I am literally lying, check this out. Here is the full, no frills, no anything else on the screen. This is straight screenshotted from the video itself. Rollback netcode for a smooth online experience. Now, Saki, a lot of people have had thoughts about all of this, most notably someone very well known inside the fighting game community, someone considered the unofficial official voice of especially the Marvel versus Capcom scene. Maximilian definitely reacted to this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and pause the music, and we're actually going to go ahead and listen to Maximilian's organic reaction to this news.
I don't believe there was tool and ground farming. Take you for a ride.
What the fuck?
Pikmin arcade games featuring Marvel and Capcom characters are fighting their way onto Nintendo Switch as one collection.
What?
Flash and X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Ah, what the?
Duke it out in Marvel versus Capcom 2 New Age of
what
Heroes.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Take down the Kingpin in the beat-em-up side-scroller The Punisher,
back!
And more.
The Oz scream gets me every single time. I'm just going, ah! It's so funny to me. But seriously, congratulations to everybody inside of the Marvel vs. Capcom community. This was amazing news. And I just wanted to shout out, obviously, some of the really cool reactions I saw. These specific Maximilian reactions were actually captured directly from his stream. And you can see like the slow motion excitement on his face. Here's some more screens that kind of just go over the things. Capcom actually went ahead and let people know, hey, they're going to have casual matches, ranked matches, and custom matches inside of the game, which is freaking awesome. They have the ability for you to actually go ahead and change your button controls, which was never before added because, of course, Marvel vs. Capcom was a default, arcade game, so you didn't really change your buttons. I think the only other time you could do it was when you were specifically inside a fightcade, you know, but that was kind of the unofficial way of doing it. Secondly, they also have different difficulties that you can actually set for the bots. So while you're practicing, you can change how hard you want the bots to go against you, which is really, really good for new players. And finally, they actually offered literally the soundtrack to every single game that they have inside of this collection as well, which for people who are familiar with Marvel Capcom or Marvel collections, they know that this is pretty standard, but it's still a very welcome thing, especially for a lot of people who have like, you know, a favorite Marvel versus Capcom song that they've wanted to hear and repeat. Saki, I know you're not like super big into Team Fighters, but do you have any songs that kind of like resonate with you when you think about Marvel versus Capcom?
It's not so much the music, it's always that intro, right? Mm. Like, Capcom present.
Yeah, the Capcom present's pretty universal.
It's like, oh, wow. And I would have never thought that a Nintendo showcase was what was gonna be revealing that.
That surprised me, too. Was, yeah.
I think that's, like, the least expected place to get this news, number one. And number two, honestly, like, it just goes to show you that spending and investing in collections like these allows you to see the future of these series come back. You may not be able to get a new game because again, you know, legal stuff, and especially with Marvel being as big as it is now, it's not going to be as easy as it was back then. But, you know, when we look at like Vampire Saviors Collection and the Capcom Fighting Games Collection, it was such a big hit because you're now making the game accessible. Not everybody is going to have availability with one, with a PC like that, and two, able to actually have the patience to sit through Parsec or sit through Fightcade and be able to actually play these games the way that they want to.
For sure.
And not everyone goes to these tournaments either, right? Where some of them are still having the tournaments. So it's honestly like amazing. Congratulations, Capcom, Marvel versus Capcom fans. Sharpie, your video is very hold true because Maximilian's the king of Marvel versus Capcom fans.
See, now I am so glad you said that, Saki, because someone actually mentioned that in passing here, and I'm going to go ahead and read off the quote specifically from Thorgy Arcade, actually someone who I've gotten to know relatively, like, just in passing or so. They're actually a YouTuber that focuses on fighting game and retro games. And I really do recommend Thorgy Arcade just in general for our viewers if you happen to be interested in retro games especially. But Thorgy posted saying, I'm sure everyone is already saying it, but we all need to give a massive thank you to Maximilian for the free MVC2 campaign, for getting the whole world to talk about that game again, and a thank you to everyone who spread that word around as much as they did. To which Maximilian actually responded, stating, I appreciate it, really, but one voice isn't enough. The world showed up for hashtag free MVC2 3 years ago. If anything, y'all are the reason we're here. We made this happen. And I think all of that there just goes to show how important being a good community leader is, because when someone shouts you out as a community leader, you don't take that. What you do is you turn that back around and say the community did it because we all worked together. It wasn't just me. I may have started the amplification of it, but you all followed through. And that's ultimately what the fighting game community is about. It's like taking these small moments that community leaders, content creators, hosts, commentators, podcast hosts take you know, and turning that into widespread change inside of the community. Saki, final thoughts.
Play fighting games.
Play fighting games, y'all. And with that, dear viewer, we have come to the end of yet another FGC cast. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, you guys, I want to thank you so much for the support. We actually have currently broken 400 subscribers on YouTube. We've had over 250 followers on Spotify. Y'all have been ranking our podcast on Apple Podcasts. I am very, very happy to announce that we have several 5-star ratings and we have a 4.9 ranking on Spotify, which thank you so much for that. As always, y'all leaving us 5-star ratings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts really does help us get out to more people and keep us on the algorithm. And I just have to ask you, Saki, because I know you also make content and you've been working on a few projects. Where can we keep up with all of your really cool content?
So you can keep up with my cool content at my website, SakiSakuraTV.info. That has all my links going to TikTok, Twitter, all the YouTubes, all the Twitches. You can definitely check it out, all of it on there as well.
Congrats on your website, Saki! That's awesome! Yes. Well, dear viewer, thank you so much for coming out to yet another episode of FGC Cast. And as always, we will see you offline.
Bye-bye!